This is the DRF Players Podcast.
What's up? It's the Friday, February 13th edition of the DRF Players Podcast alongside DRF Tournament Editor Peter Thomas Fornital, DRF Formulator Operator Mike Hogan. I'm Matt Bernier. This, I think with this going forward, is going to be called the Public Handicapper Show on Fridays.
That makes sense.
The PH preview, because all we're going to do from now on, we feel like we've gotten a little bit long with some of the things, a little long-winded. So we're going to talk tournament and the four public handicapper races on Friday and try and get out.
And then Wednesday can be our more sprawling show where we have an interview, we go into tangents about our favorite rock and roll records, etc.
All that fun stuff.
Sounds good.
Let's start off with tournament talk, Pete.
Sure.
Prep everyone, get everyone taken care of.
Absolutely. And really, the Friday tournament talk will be less idea-based, which we'll again do on Wednesday, and more just letting folks know what's coming up in the DRF family of contests over the weekend. And this weekend, we got some good opportunities. On Saturday, on NHC Qualify, we have the typical, what we call the live format, where we'll be giving away a host of NHC seats. You've got to pay $165 if you want to enter that contest. On the same set of races, over on DRF Qualify, there's going to be an $80 buy-in qualifier to the $100,000 Santa Anita Betting Challenge, which is going to be happening March 14th and 15th out at the Great Race Place. Then on Sunday, return to action at bcqualify.com for $190 buy-in. You can win your way in to the $10,000 buy-in Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge, the most prestigious live bankroll betting contest in the world, really. And then again, same set of races over on DRF Qualify. This time, and you're running out of time for this, there's an $80 buy-in qualifier for the Gulfstream Park Raise Your Game Handicapping Challenge. We're going to be down there at Gulfstream at the end of the month. The little birdie told me that signups have been looking really strong. They might even exceed the $100,000 purse in that one. I know, Matt, you'll be down there with me. Mike, are you staying home or are you going to be down there for that one?
I will be home.
Okay. But it's going to be fun. We're going to be doing some seminars. We're going to be hanging out with folks and getting a chance to get away from this absolutely brutal winter. I think it was about 1 degree.
Yeah, it's not nice outside. It's quite cold. The wind is blowing a little bit, so I'm looking forward to getting down to Florida. That's going to be the weekend of the swale. And the swale is actually looking like it's coming up pretty salty.
I didn't realize it was the swale that weekend. That's fantastic.
Yeah, so you got Super Colossal. Apparently Todd's got 400 horses anyway. But whether it's Competitive Edge or Daredevil, I think it's more likely Daredevil is going to be making his return there. So
that's great.
It'll be a good weekend of racing. And then, like you say, we've got seminars. We've got the contest itself going on. We'll be down there doing DRF live streaming down there on site at Gulfstream, so it should be a good time.
I'm going to tack on a couple days vacation. My wife Susan's going to come down and join me. My mom's going to watch Perrin, and we're actually going to get some days of fun in the sun. Going to go to this famous tiki palace out in Fort Lauderdale called Maikai. Supposed to make an amazing assortment of tiki drinks, and people play with fire, apparently.
Pyromaniacs. A little bit of crazy right there with the flames. I'm staying down there for another day or two as well, so JB, that's all I'll refer to her as. JB will be along for the ride, too. So
it'll
be good. Got to stay, like you say, if I'm getting out of here, if I'm getting out of the cold, I'm going to make it worth my time.
Let's do it. Let's have fun and come say hi to us down there at Gulfstream. People can buy into that contest, too. If you don't qualify for your 80, you can put up $3,000. Of course, that's $3,000 live bankroll. So you get to keep of the 2,000 live bankroll, you get to keep whatever you make. So not a bad way to spend your money if you bet at that level normally, especially.
No, so pretty much we got a lot of action this weekend on all of the DRF tournament sites. Obviously, this has become your hub for tournament play. And while you're playing, be sure to check out Dan and I. We're going to be on all day on Saturday starting at 12:30, going right through the feature at Santa Anita, which would be the Santa Maria, I believe. That's what it is. At this point, the names of the races are just blending into one another.
There's a lot of sand. There's a lot of sand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. A lot of things ending in A. Like you say, sand, Santa, whatever it may be. But we've got four public handicap races this weekend.
None from Santa Anita.
None from Santa. The first weekend was last weekend. You guys both were at least on the board with shared belief.
Hey, better a short price than a long face, as I always say.
That's right. So you guys are 1-4 minus $4. I'm 0-4 minus $8. Hopefully we can give a little bit better showing of ourselves, but I'm going to be honest with you before we even start. A couple of these races I hate.
Hate?
Yeah, I just...
Strong words.
I don't have a good opinion about it's hard for me to really love anything, you know?
So you will not be playing your own live money on any of those races? Or at least the ones that you didn't have a strong opinion on?
Yeah, on two of them I probably will. On two of them, no shot.
Okay.
So we'll go into that in time. Let's start off the first race of the weekend for the public handicapper. Again, free for play. You don't have to pay for anything. Publichandicapper.com. Sign up. Join us. Have fun. This is the prep season.
Right, and we should point out there are, even if you didn't get in last week, first of all, no runaway prices in the contest. Second of all, it doesn't even matter because you still have whatever it is, 10 or 11 weeks left in this thing. And there are weekly and monthly prizes as well. So you're not behind at all. Definitely take Matt's advice and sign up for Public Handicapper, the PH Prep today. And it just gives you another excuse to listen to us going over these races in preview on a Friday and then reviewing them typically along with all the other big news and notes from the sport of thoroughbred racing in our Wednesday show.
Exactly. So for this week, again, it's four races each weekend. The first one this week is the eighth from Laurel Park down in Laurel, Maryland. Looking like the weather's a little iffy, so we'll wait and see. Be cognizant of that when you go through and handicap. It's the grade two Barbara Fritchie handicap, purse $300,000. Fillies and mares, three-year-olds and up, going seven furlongs. Let's start. Who wants to start?
You have anything strong, Mike?
You know, I wouldn't say strong. I'm guessing. If I had to guess, Matt, I would guess this is one of the races that you are not in love with.
This is one of the races I'm in love with.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Well, good. Well, maybe you should start then.
All right, that's fine. I think Princess Violet is a standout. She's probably the most likely winner. I have to try and beat Sam's Sister in here. Right. Sam's Sister, at the end of the day, I like her a lot. I think she's a good little filly, and she has every right to improve. She's still rather lightly raced. All three of her seven furlong dirt races have been 87, 87, 88, or some combination of that. Hang on.
That's right.
87, 87, 88. She hasn't gotten any better. Last time out in the Santa Monica, I thought she was ready to fall down at the end of the race.
Yeah, we both had her that day, right?
I had her in the La Brea. You had her in the La Brea as well.
Oh, it was the La Brea. Right. She's come back since then.
Yeah, she came back and she ran in Santa Monica. She's had perfect setups in both of those races. The pace has collapsed completely.
And she benefited from the likely leader and winner essentially breaking down in the La Brea.
Taurus,
just the fractions took a toll on her.
Well, yeah, but she came out of that race with a fracture.
Right, but I mean, I don't think that was the difference. I think they went 43 and something.
Certainly
for the
didn't
half.
Help.
No, not at all, but. She hasn't stopped the clock in fast time at all. I think she's going to take money. Toasting didn't have a great trip last time out in the Sunshine Millions Distaff down at Gulfstream. You know, it's not like it was an awful trip, but she was weaving in and out of traffic. I'm looking forward to betting this horse. I said in our preview for it, Dan and I don't know anything about the jockey, R. Chirinos. I don't really know much about Claudio Gonzalez. I like the seven before you know it. A lot. The turn back from a mile and 16th to seven, I think, is going to work perfectly. Last time out, the horse was really sharp out of the gate. Was breaking from the middle of the pack, though. Pulled up a little bit on the backside because run very keenly. And kicked on. Was no match for the winner, but I thought it was a good effort all around. We're going to turn back in distance. The horse is 1-for-3 going seven. She's hit the board two times. She loves Laurel Park. She's 5 out of 6 in the exacta. I know I'm going to get a big number on her because this is clearly a class test. But, again, I don't know anything about Chirinos, the rider. I would like this to be sitting just off the early speed. There's not a ton of speed on paper. Get first run on the horses coming from off the pace. If that's the case, she's got bottom. I think she can get it done at a big number.
I went for a different Laurel horse for course in here. But I definitely appreciate that angle, and that'll definitely take another look at number 7 before you know it. But I went with number 9, Lady Sibylla, in here. 5-for-10 locally, a win at the distance. But basically, I just think she's fast enough to win, and she's going to get a great trip, I would think. I don't see that there's a ton of pace in here, and I think she'll stalk and hopefully save ground or be in the two path and be able to have some run when the real running starts. Only concern might be the price if she were to get bet down too much. I could see a lot of people maybe falling here. But if you could get 7-2, 4-1, I'd be very happy hanging my hat with Lady Sibylla.
I think you're going to get that number. I think she's the sneaky one because people are going to overlook her and say she is a, you know, a Maryland type. Sure. She's not as classy. And I think Princess Violet and Sam's sister are going to get hammered at the windows.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that. I thought you made a little interesting point about toasting as well as maybe a long shot. Is that one of the long shots you might be keeping an eye on here, maybe more for
I picked toasting third.
Okay. Interesting. And what's the weather concern that you mentioned, just that it will be frozen solid?
They are looking, as of last night, it was 80% chance of rain / snow.
Okay. Wow, so, rain. I can't imagine we'll be seeing rain anytime soon anywhere near the Northeast
corridor. Rain / snow, a little bit of breeze, and I think like 42 degrees.
Okay, there you go. Well, and they're far enough south, too. All right, interesting.
But again, I'm keeping an eye on that because Dan and I, we're going to film a Pick 4 video this afternoon, and then tomorrow that's going to be a big focus while we're on is the Pick 4 down at Laurel because the races, that four-race sequence is tremendous. So
let's hope it stays.
Mike, what do you got?
So I too, am trying to beat the horses that are likely going to take a lot of money, and I went with an Invader. I went with Marty Wolfson's Best Behavior, number 5. I think she's got some good speed. She's gotten better since she went into Wolfson's barn. She is better on dirt, certainly. It doesn't matter whether the track is fast or a little sloppy. She can get the lead. She can stalk a little bit. Zayas makes the trip up. And at 6-1, if I get anything close to that price, I think she's an interesting one.
Should be on the lead, right?
I was going to say, I think she's going straight. I think she's the true speed.
I think so, unless Lady Sibilia decides she wants to go. But, yeah, I figured that might be the case.
Any stats on Wolfson Shipping?
I didn't look up Wolfson Shipping, but I did look up last 2 years. Oh, sorry, that was actually in the other race. No, I didn't check that.
And my other concern there was just, I don't know if you want to call it bounce or just regression to the mean or whatever you want to call it, but that looked like a pretty much of a big / outlier race last time. And I was looking long and hard at that one, but was a little concerned maybe about a bounce or regression or whatever you want to call it. You think? What do you guys think about that?
You know, I guess it's always a concern. She's been working well since the race, which I guess is a positive. And perhaps it is a big number because the 7 furlongs is just a distance that hits her right between the eyes.
Sure.
At least that's my hope. Yeah. You know, and the concern there is she's a South Florida horse going up into Laurel with 80% chance of rain / snow. So, you know, that's obviously a new thing for her, at least especially since she's been in Wolfson's barn. But, you know, I figure the price will be good. She's a horse that has a lot of good speed and... you know, I too am likely to want to beat Sam's sister, another horse that's shipping even further at a short price. So.
Yeah, we all kind of have a similar idea there. Try to beat the favorites.
Beat her, but see, and I don't want to say that I'm necessarily in that camp because I think Princess Violet is arguably a standout.
Maybe I should have said beat Sam's sister.
If she runs any of her last 3 races, she wins. I thought her race last time was, there's no question, that was the best race any of these fillies has ever run.
My hesitation there, and this is annoying, and I can't wait until DRF Angle Finder comes into play and we can look at these things. But I'm so used to horses, and this is anecdotal, and it varies from track to track, and depending on how many runners there are, but sometimes they just don't break that well from 7 furlongs when they're down there on the inside. And I'd love to be able to look at some data about that. I don't play Laurel regularly. I don't have any sense. For all I know, it's the rail at 7 at Laurel is fantastic and exactly where you want to be. But it did give me a little bit of pause along with the price in not picking that one, though I agree with you absolutely. Princess Violet I like more than I like. Sam's sister is the one that's really let's try to beat in my mind.
I agree with you. That's my thought there.
I would agree. If I were... And I don't think I'm going to be playing this race in a multi-race fashion or anything, but Princess Violet would definitely be an A for me as well.
Yeah, she's very strong in here. It'll be interesting to see how, you know, fingers crossed the weather holds up and it doesn't get too crazy. But by the way, the post time for that race is 3:57 Eastern. The second race of the weekend is the 11th at Gulfstream. It's a mile on the grass. It's the Cooper City Handicap, $60,000 purse. Phillies and mares, 4-year-old and up. Post time's at 5:30. Pete, would you like to lead off?
I'm sorry. Believe it or not, I was looking at Marty Wolfson's stats shipping, and
that's fine.
I need a moment to compose myself. If one of you guys,
Mike, would you like to lead off?
Sure, I'll keep it. Go double down on Wolfson here. I'm going with the rail runner E.B. Ryder, Marty Wolfson with John Velasquez in the irons, making second start off of a little bit of relatively short layoff. Takes the blinkers. Or puts the blinkers back on after a dull effort in the Sunshine Millions Filly and Mare turf against your horse Pink Poppy there, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Blinkers go back on. I think this one at a bit of a price can run an improved race, and this is the one where I do have a stat for Wolfson. He's 3-for-17 with a 4.04 ROI past 2 years in turf routes at Gulfstream in the second start following a layoff. So. I also, partly because I do not like, I'm already sexy, and I don't like Granny's McKitten, at least not in this spot. So I figured I'd take a shot at beating both of them.
That's funny, because I actually was torn between your selection, E.B. Ryder, and number three, I'm Already Sexy. And just to be contrarian, I think I'll go with number three, I'm Already Sexy. When I looked at this race very quickly, for when I do my little write-ups on the DRF site in my blog area of the upcoming contest action, I'll sometimes take a quick look at the sequence that's going to be used for those contests and just take a quick look at the best races in them. And looking at this quickly, I'm Already Sexy seemed, from a class point of view, will to win point of view, a little bit of a standout. And then looking more closely at the figures, I see, well, yeah, you would not say a standout, but I do think she could be sitting on a pretty nice race here after the effort in the Endeavor. And I'm going to keep it simple and go with one who I think could be the best in the race at what I hope is this morning line price. Is there any prayer at all of the 4-1?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Because I look at it like, I also picked I'm Already Sexy. This is one of the races I hate because I don't have a strong opinion. I think I'm Already Sexy. I didn't want to pick her because I think she is, for what you just said, I think she's going to be a short price.
Right.
I just think she's going to work out a really good trip. Last time out, that race in the Endeavor, that's not her typical running style. She's usually much closer to the lead.
Yep.
I think she's going to sit just off of some of these cheaper speeds. Is she going to get first run in the closers? I've never really loved Granny Mac's Kitten. I don't think she's gotten any better since she was a 2-year-old to the point where she is now. She's going to be one that takes money. And I've never been a big fan of Kitty Bitty. Or Kitty Wine, I'm sorry. Kitty Bitty. There's another horse that... Isn't there a Bitty Kitty?
Yes, Bitty Kitty, I know. Kitty Bitty, I don't know.
Kitty Wine.
Kitty Wine.
Kitty Wine, I know.
Is the one that's in here, has the highest last out buyer in the field. Another horse that I've just never really been enamored with. This race doesn't do anything for me. I went with the horse. I think it's just going to work out the best trip. And Pete, like you said, the back class is there.
And how about the form lines in the last race? You know, I mean, that's a pretty live looking race
to
be beaten 3 lengths by the two that came back and ran so well. Was that last weekend or two weeks ago?
Yeah.
Testarossi and what's the other one called? Hard Not to Like?
Hard Not to Like.
Yeah, there you go.
So,
granted, it's only a 60K. I mean, obviously, it's a class relief from these graded stakes races. Part of my concern with her was, you know, this Paco's riding her for the first time. She's had 4 riders in the last 4 races.
4 different tracks, though.
4 different tracks, that's true. She does ship a lot. You know, she's...
When you see that at the same track, I agree. That's a negative.
Yeah.
But yeah. I can forgive it based on that.
I feel like they're just trying to find a spot for her, and maybe this is it, but at a short price, you know, her last win was at Kentucky Downs, and obviously that's a very odd configuration. And then, you know, I'm just not sure she, you know, when she shows up against good horses, which who knows if this field is a field of good horses. She doesn't really run all that well. In her last few races where she's won, I'm not sure she beat a whole lot. So
I share your concerns about the price. If I had gone first, I probably would have picked E.B. Ryder, actually.
Well, you're welcome.
I was going to say, shouldn't be a deterrent,
no.
though.
No, but I was torn.
In a contest. E.B. Ryder's going to be the price of the two.
I was torn. I do like I'm Already Sexy more. It's just one of those things where this is why I hate the sort of all-in pick and pray, whatever you want to call it, format, where to me, when you take knowing the price out of picking, you really are losing something fundamental. Because I think I'm Already Sexy is a high degree likely winner than EB Rider. I just think if I'm Already Sexy is 2-1, give me EB Rider all day. If I'm Already Sexy is legit 7-2, 4-1, I'd want her all the time. So I think I'm gonna stick to my guns. But I guess this is all to say that in my multi exotics, EB Rider would also be an A.
There you go.
Part of my thinking with EB Rider as well is Wolfson scratched her out of that race last week, which was the one. The one we did in the 10th race at Gulfstream last week.
Sandiva.
That Sandiva won.
Suwannee River.
Which was a much, much tougher spot. He scratched her out of that race to go here. So
yeah, she's obvious. Good course and distance record. Projects a good trip. Looks fast enough. I like her too.
The third race of the four for this weekend is the 9th at Oaklawn. It's the $100,000 Essex Handicap for four-year-olds and up. We've got a pretty decent field. We've only got 8 horses in it, but obviously the one that everyone's going to be looking at is Ride on Curlin, number 7. Anyone have any trying to beat him?
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to try to beat him.
Me too.
Yeah. I mean, very obvious. The kind of horse, we get some questions sometimes about, we've got a few questions about pick four wagering strategy, and I actually had a note on pick four wagering strategy regarding Ride on Curlin.
Okay.
For me, this is a horse who, if you're putting together your pick four and you're constructing a variety of different tickets, this is a horse that I would use, but I wouldn't even use as a traditional A. I would use sort of in an off-the-grid manner where I'd want a horse this obvious is going to be a short price. I would want with my absolute strongest opinions, and I would want with live-looking long shots. I do not want to other chalky horses that I consider contenders. It's the kind of horse, if you're following, is that making sense? I'm seeing you're making a funny face.
Yeah.
In other words, just you look at a race sometimes and you have a variety of those. You know, you might call them A's, you might call them B's, but they're horses who are going to be less than, say, 4 or 5 to 1, who you recognize they have every chance to win. They're not your pick in the race. They're
right.
Not your horse, but by any logic, they're top contenders. Horses like that to a horse like Ride on Curlin, I feel like you're putting too much weight in a combination that isn't going to pay.
And this is where, and as much as we all love Ticketmaker, this is where you occasionally need to stray from it.
Absolutely.
Because what you're explaining is he's an A, but he's not. You can't use him with all the other chalks.
You can't use him by – to me, a horse like this, obviously you can use him any way you want if you love him.
Right.
But for me who's trying to beat him, this is the kind of horse I would leave out of my – I'd still do my ticket maker iterations. I'd be happy to play them. And then I might just play a special ticket or set of tickets using a horse like this, tying him to either my absolute top pick in races and or some – other live long shots where if the combination comes in, it's going to pay well. What do you think about that, Mike?
Yeah, I was going to say this is where, and I think what you're getting at, Pete, is what I do often when I have a favorite like this that I want to try and beat, where I don't care. I'm not looking to get a pick four that pays $40 with a horse that I don't love. I'm looking to use him, like you said, to help me cash with live long shots that I like in other legs, because I don't want to be smart in those live long shots and be stupid by leaving him off my ticket. So what I often will do, and maybe you were getting at this, maybe you weren't, is I will do 2 different ticket maker plays.
Yeah, you can do that as well.
Yeah, where one is my more traditional one where I'm trying to beat him and leaning more heavily on my opinions, and one of my opinions might be that he's vulnerable in this race, and then another one where I'm leaning more heavily on him but taking out those ones that are likely to be short-priced in other legs that just don't provide value.
Right, because if you just make him a C, in many instances – you can have very logical combinations come in, but because of the way those tickets get constructed, you're not going to have it. I feel like horses like this, for me anyway, warrant sort of their own separate multi-race strategy.
Yeah, and the strategy for me I take is I'm willing to cash less often in order to win more. Yep. And if I miss...
Sound investment strategy.
Yeah, if I miss a pick four that pays $40, oh well. I would much rather do that than try and catch it and spread a lot further than I need to or I feel comfortable doing in order to catch one that costs three or four times that.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I agree with all that. He's one. Now, I don't know what the rest of that sequence looks like. I'll just. You get to a certain point. I'll use the Laurel one because I'm in the midst of going through that with Sam's sister. To me, it's either you stand on a horse like that or you chuck.
I with Sam's sister, I'd be happy to just. If she wins, I lose.
Right.
With Ride on Curlin. I feel like the likelihood of winning is so great.
Well, but I still feel like it's one of those things, though. It depends. I don't know what the rest of the sequence looks like. I don't want to.
Excellent point. I'm speaking in theoretical terms.
Because if for some reason the rest of the sequence looks like it could be chalky, I've got no problem just pitching him completely and saying, you know what, like Mike was alluding to.
Yeah.
I'm okay. I don't care about being right. I care about making money.
Yeah.
Let me, you know, so if we get to, and there, oh, there there goes the styrofoam, taking out the microphone.
A wall just fell in our studio.
So I will tell you this. I haven't looked at the rest of the sequence either, but the race prior, the eighth race, is a maiden special weight with 12 horses entered, eight of which are making their debut.
There's a fair chance you can get value. I mean, it depends on who's, you know, who the connections are and any of that kind of stuff, but... You get my point, though.
Yeah. What I'm saying there is, you know,
you're
not
saying the same thing.
Yeah. Right.
If you do feel like you can find something in one of the other legs, then you know what? You defensively use him strictly for defense, not because you're thinking he is going to be the. I don't know. It's just always been one of my things where playing multis and everyone has their own opinions and strategies with things. If I see a sequence and I'm playing with Ticketmaker, I want it to be with a sequence that I think. Every race is more or less, not contentious, but maybe, you know, I could literally see three different horses possibly winning, at least, for Ticketmaker. If I go the other way, if there's a heavy favorite in a sequence, I either want that to be the standalone single or chuck completely and try to, you know, take down a monster.
Yeah.
You know, there's really no, I'm not looking to play just to hit for $150.
I call that strategy, and it's one I use when I play Santa Anita, the beat the Baffert strategy.
Beat Baffert, you could say the same thing at golf with Todd.
Right.
You know, where the people that are going to take all the money, you want to try and beat them.
Try that lately at Gulfstream, and you got a lot of tickets to rip up, I'm afraid.
Well, and that was kind of the thing last week when we did the Cross Country Pick 4. I said it as we were on air on Saturday. I probably played the ticket wrong because I included Shared Belief in California Chrome in the final leg with Alpha Bird. Now, I didn't hit it anyway, but the logic behind it was even if one of the two favorites hits, it's not going to pay anything because everybody and their brother's going to have those ones. And I know a lot of people made the argument that, you know, and look, $68 or whatever it paid, 50 cents, with it being as chalky as it was, I guess that's good. It's not something that I would
have
had.
Wasn't there a huge you mean the cross country. Right. I was thinking about the one with the 60-1 Peter Miller horse first, but that was the one at Santa.
But yeah, and I said, truthfully, looking back on it, I probably should have just singled Alpha Bird in the finale.
Right.
And if I'm right,
You get paid and you lose less money if you're wrong.
You know, so.
Right. I mean, I don't, at the same time, there are times, and you see this sometimes, used to happen a lot, and it still happens. A big day in Belmont Fall, you know, the Jockey Club Gold Cup day. A lot of times you'll see some pretty live favorites on that day. There are days where I'll look at a sequence and think I can have it on a ticket that's, you know, 2x1x2x1, and it's going to pay 40 or 80 or whatever. But if you have it for $10, if you have it for $20, that goes out the window. That's a totally other way to play multis when you think it's going to be chalky and yet you still want to play it. I guess every sequence, Matt made a key point, it's hard to talk about this stuff in a vacuum because and you can't even talk about it just looking at one race. You need to really talk about multi-race strategy properly. You need to be looking at an entire
sequence. Right.
And maybe someday we'll get a chance to do that on here.
And the tangent that we went down, back to the race individual by itself, we're all in agreement. We're trying to beat Ride on Curlin. He seems like the most likely winner, though, on paper, right?
Indubitably the most likely winner.
I don't know if I'd quite go that far, partly because he has not won going a route of ground, right?
True, 3 for 3, 3 wins all came in sprints, but he's run winning races.
Well, of course, sure, sure.
I was going to say, who would you argue is the most likely winner?
Well, you know, the one I'm going with is, maybe I'll start, the one just is outside Todd's Golden Lad, who won the Grade 3 Razorback on that very track last year. Granted, it was a wet track, but then he came back to run against Will Take Charge, Revolutionary, Carve, in the next out in the Oaklawn Handicap. He's not facing those types here. Granted, Right on Curlin could be, if he runs back to his form last year, he could be one of those types, but just considering how all out he was to win first off of a long layoff, you know, I don't know. I don't know if you want to talk about the possibility of a bounce, or you know, he might need a race or two, at least going a route in order to hit his best stride.
I thought that race was awesome,
I did too.
I thought he would definitely step up from
it.
I didn't think he had any right to win that race.
Right.
Yeah, right. That's true.
And the fact that he did, to me, is it's a feather in his cap.
I think he won it as a short horse.
Yeah, off of a 6-7 month layoff.
Yeah.
I felt like he was beating a horse that did not run on. And
it wasn't, to me, it wasn't about anything about any of the other 10 runners in that race. I mean, it's about how he looked. Visually.
They were three and change clear of third. I mean, it's not like.
Right. Oh, sure.
You know.
Sure. But that horse that had the lead there was definitely shortening stride, and
well,
lost the race more than
they cooked early. I mean, he was trailing the field or toward the rear, and he went his half and 46 flat. I mean, they were motoring out there, and that horse was forwardly placed. So I can understand why the horse was getting short at the end.
Yeah.
Right on Curlin obviously has to step up from that effort, but I just think everything visually to me suggested that he would.
See, and I guess this is the other thing. I don't know how much he needs to step up, my opinion.
Yeah, you're because probably right. He'd probably run that race again and win.
I look at this field, and we go back to class. We talked about it last week,
sure.
Class.
Yeah.
This is not a classy field. These are, in my opinion, these are a lot of middling sort of horses that are listed stake.
Yeah, it's a listed stakes race, and there's a bunch of listed stakes horses.
Exactly.
And they're stepping up.
He's the
it.
Class of the field.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Oh, I will give you that 100%. Absolutely.
So you went with Golden Lad.
I went with Golden Lad. Second off a long layoff. You know, partly because I'll get a better price on a horse that has proven that he likes the surface, and you know, obviously will, I think, run an improved effort off of that last race.
Want me to go?
I can go.
Go ahead.
I think Rocket Time's going to get a great trip in here.
You and I are just chalking up left and right, same horses.
We're in syncing, and I'm sorry, I should have let you go. I mean, you know, to me, it's so simple. The horse, the horse is very fast. The horse is going to get a great trip, and that's basically where it begins and ends. And I want to try to just hope Ride on Curlin, for whatever reason, doesn't fire his best shot, and we get a chance to get maybe a little bit of an overlaid price, because I think a couple of the others are going to definitively take more money, and I think the 4-1 is possibly realistic on Rocket Time.
See, now I look at it, and I think a lot of people are going to say that the two speeds in the race are going to duel each other in submission down in the rail with the 1 and 2 hole. I look at it and say Burrell is going to let this one go.
I agree.
And sit just off, because
he's done it before.
Right, Rocket Time has shown if you go three races back, he can sit off and make his run. That's not a problem. I like Rocket Time in here. Another race that I'm not jonesing to go and play, but I went Rocket Time. I pegged him 7-2. I don't know what he is on the morning
Force.
Line. 4. So, I mean, yeah, I think that's...
I'd be fine with 7-2 for the record there.
Yeah, that's what I put him at. I went with him. Again, it's not a race that I love. I think Ride on Curlin is, you know, a logical runner in here. Yeah, that's about it. Not all much right. more to add on the Essex from Oaklawn. The last race of the weekend is the Derby Prep of the weekend.
We finally get a Derby Prep in the PH Prep.
Hence the PH Prep name. Up at Golden Gate in Northern California. It's the 7th. It is a mile and an eighth. It's the El Camino Real Derby. Purses $200,000. 3-year-olds on the Tapita going a mile and an eighth. 9 furlongs. Distance is a question. Pete, lead off.
This is another one where I kind of got it down to a couple, and I need to now on the fly make my final decision here. I'm laboring between number 2, Indiana Naughty, and The other one I'm going to throw in there, I'll go with the other one. I'm going to go with Stand and Salute out of the Cal Derby. I just thought, just based on trip, I'm surprised as a tape watcher, you don't see the case on that horse. I just thought that clearly ran the best race of those three in the Cal Derby. And there, I usually like to take a stranger in the spot when you have three horses coming off of, an uninspiring prep. It's tempting to take somebody coming from farther away. And that's where I was sort of heading with the Romans runner, Indiana Naughty, or however you pronounce that. But watching the tape again, I thought it was a really rough trip that Stand and Salute had. I liked the race over the track. And I think that, you know, hopefully there'll be a pace. Going to need a pace for that one to get up, I think. But ran about a mile and an eighth last time, so why not try to get it done at a mile and an eighth this time?
So I actually went with, and here's a race where I think perhaps we have a very strong favorite. And I actually half considered picking Conquest Typhoon because from a class standpoint, from a just an accomplishment standpoint, he is, I think, the standout in the race.
I have a formulator fact on him.
You do.
I wonder if you picked up this one.
I probably do. Well, let's see. I have one, too. So go ahead.
Cassie, coming off this type of layoff into a stake, 1 for 31.
Ooh, interesting. So I went Cassie going turf to synthetic with last out winners last
like
5 years.
How'd that one look?
9 for 22.
Okay, much better.
Yeah. And the other stat, and this was one I think Dan found, right, Matt?
Mm-hmm.
Mike Smith at Golden Gate, lifetime. What was that stat?
Somebody's been playing around with DRF internal.
4 for 6.
Wait, only 6 starts, really?
Up at Golden Gate, but he's won 2/3 of them.
Mike Smith does not bother to make the trip.
I was going to say, unless he thinks he's on something.
And that's, what's the time frame on that?
That's lifetime.
That's lifetime.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, lifetime.
Yes. So,
Mike Smith. Of all, like you say, Mike Smith, he's 50 years old, I think.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
You know.
That said, I am not picking him just because I think he's probably going to be close to even money. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. And I'm also thinking he has a little bit of a look to me of a horse that was really good going a route of ground in a 2-year-old year before a lot of the other horses had grown up and wanted that kind of trip. So perhaps if he grows up at the same rate as who he's facing tomorrow, you know, he's a standout. But I'm hoping that some of the others have caught him and he's kind of come back to the field a bit. So I'm going with number 2, Indian Naughty. Dale Romans debuted over in England, then went and won a nice race at Gulfstream on the turf in January. From a breeding standpoint, the only question I have is the distance. I don't think he's a turf-only horse. He's out of a Grade 3 winning dirt sprinter who is in herself half to Macho Again. So he's a horse that has a bit of pedigree, and I think they have some Derby aspirations in mind for him. Obviously, this is the synthetic, so he's got to show that. Just being by Indian Charlie, I don't know if 9 furlongs is quite up his alley, but I'm hoping I'll get, you know, 4 to 1 in a field where I really don't think there's a whole lot aside from a short price favorite.
Mike Smith's only 49, by the way. I aged him prematurely there. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I said at least there, Mike.
When is his birthday? Because I think his 50th birthday is soon.
August 10th.
Oh, okay.
I think it's just that he's been around for so darn long. But it's these jockeys start young.
That's right. You guys didn't mention the two. Well, you mentioned one of the standouts. It's a 2-horse race.
Yeah,
okay. It's a 2-horse race.
I think I know who you're going with.
This is a 39 exacta. This is Metaboss. Yeah. This is Metaboss's coming out party.
Yeah.
This is one where I know that last race when he won down at Santa Anita, it has come back weaker than weak. No one has come out of that to run anything. Right. Don't matter. This horse was much the best. Got his final 8th in 11-2. The distance is a question for almost everyone in this spot, except for this one. He's proven over the distance. Conquest Typhoon is the logical horse. He's going to be a heavy favorite. I agree with Mike. I think he's going to probably be close to even money, maybe 6 to 5. I've got Metaboss pegged at 5-1. You look two back when he ran a good second.
I like that race.
Who is a promising Southern California grass horse. This, boom, 39. Send it in. No shot.
Let's talk about, I want to hear it, because I know you're a tape watcher, and you clearly loathe my pick here. Stan, it's Lou, what did you see on the, what did you see that I didn't see? Because you certainly saw the positives out of that trip that I saw, I'm assuming.
It's the race itself. I mean, I don't think anyone in that race is.
You just tossed the whole race.
I chucked the Cal Derby completely, yeah. I look,
I mean,
at,
do you agree with me that he probably ran a couple lengths better than everybody else in there?
Yeah, but even so, you know, at what? Is that enough for me to?
It might not be.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it might not be enough to be good enough here, but I just was curious.
I pegged him and crossed the line both at 14-1. Gave him each a 7%. Cross the line's never going to have a better setup than.
Yeah,
he did
see, I couldn't have those two at the same price in my reckoning, just because Cross the Line had such a perfect trip and this horse had such a rotten one.
Well, but I also look at it too, and there's not a lot of speed on here. I assume the horse from the rail is going to go, but Cross the Line, I think, is going to sit.
Great point. So, Cross the Line's going to get a better trip again.
Right.
Yeah,
so
quite possibly.
And I just, boy, I don't want any of those horses coming from Golden Gate.
And also, talking pedigree, you saw who Cross the Line's have to as well, right?
I would have to double check.
Everyone's favorite mismanaged horse of last year, Ria Antonia.
Oh.
Well, you know,
notice that.
It's Cross the Line?
Yeah.
All right, so I mean, distance then, mile and eighth could be within scope, but it's Metaboss, Conquest, Typhoon, however you want to do it. It's 1-2. I'm going to play Metaboss because the price is going to be better. So, yeah, that's it. Those are our four PH races for this week. I don't know how we are on time. I think it's a little bit better than it normally is.
Oh, my gosh. I think we've been about 45 minutes, right?
41.
Wow. Beautiful.
How about that, huh? So we'll be back here on Wednesday next week. We'll chop up these four races. Anything else that happens that's major over the weekend, any news stories, anything fun like that. Thanks for listening. Pete, take it away.
May you win all your photos.